You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your host and Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons. Got to break down the three-game series with the Detroit Tigers. A 1-2 road trip to Michigan for the Rockies. Seventh visit to Detroit, 2003, 2008, 2009, 2012, 2014. Big break there, 2022, back when Miguel Cabrera got his 3,000th hit. And 2024 here. They were able to steal a win on Thursday with a sweep for the Tigers at stake, but they get a win on a game in which AL Cy Young Award favorite, probable AL Triple Crown winner for pitchers, Tarik Skubal, is on the bump, and they avoid the sweep in Detroit. Bring the 9-game road trip record to a very respectable 4-5. Run differential was negative 15 for 9 games. Not great, but still, Rockies currently 55-92 on the season, which means an 8-7 record would help them avoid 100 losses for the second consecutive season. It's one game above 500, mostly at home where we know the Rockies play better, but with 5 series remaining against 4 clubs. That's right, they double dip against the Los Angeles Dodgers. They play nothing but teams that are at or above 500. Cubs, Cardinals, Diamondbacks, and the Dodgers twice. Would it really change anything if they lost just, quote-unquote, 99 games? No, don't think so. But it is one of those stories to follow here over the last 2 weeks of the season. Now, on Tuesday, it was 11-0 loss, one of the worst losses in the season, in my opinion. You had the 14th career start from Cater Montero, who, if you were listening earlier in the week, you heard Clay Snowden, who covers the Detroit Tigers for Just Baseball, say that he's a sneaky good prospect, a good rookie, you know, had a mid-4 ERA this season, so still learning the trade in the bigs at 24 years old. But he only gives up 3 hits. And faces the minimum 27 hitters. His first complete game shutout of his very young career. Does it in 97 pitches. That's right. Twirls a Maddox in his 14th career start. First Tigers rookie to have a sub-100 pitch complete game while facing the minimum since pitch tracking began in 1988. And of course, I had to look up how many times has a pitcher thrown, or rather the Tigers, even as a team, gone 27 batters faced in 9 innings, only 4 other times. First two were honestly players I had never heard of, but the last two Hall of Famers, one in there right now in Jack Morris, the other will be there very soon, Justin Verlander. Both those two were no-hit bids by those gentlemen. Rockies suffered their 15th shutout with that loss on Tuesday night. It ties them with the Chicago Cubs, I should say, and the Cleveland Guardians. So two teams that are above 500, so it doesn't really mean all that much maybe, but I know that the Cubs and the Guardians are probably also saying, hey, we need to put the ball in play a little bit more. Tied for second most with those 15 shutouts. White Sox do have the most at 17. And the Rockies' 15 shutouts are the second most in franchise history behind only 2021. Pretty recent. That number is at 16. So with 15 more games left, I mean, they're on pace to probably tie that, maybe even top that. They are at home for many of these games, 12 of the final 15. But look, pitchers can throw shutouts at Coors Field. I do believe that's still allowed. So another one of those things to wait and see where this team ranks all time when compared to some of the other clubs that have struggled in the past. In this game on Tuesday, Bradley Blaylock had another rough start. Only lasts 4 innings, gives up 5 runs, but all of those runs came in the first 2 innings, a 4-run second inning. He managed to hang on for another two after that, which you certainly like to see. That shows a lot of moxie, and you know he has a lot of potential from those first four starts to work with. He's still going to get the ball every 5 days. I think if one of the ways that the Rockies are going to avoid 100 losses, they are going to go 8-7 for the final 15 games of the year. The starting pitching is going to need to step up in a major way. They're going to get Gomber back. Congratulations to him and his wife for the birth of their first daughter. That was awesome to see. So they're going to get him back. That's going to give them three strong starts here in the final stretch of the season. You're probably going to get Cal Quantrill back. Now, maybe that takes up Bradley Blaylock's start. But then there's also Antonio Sensatella, who is going to be ready to go and make one start before the season ends. So, again, the starting pitching is where it's going to be at. But where it's already at is the bullpen. The bullpen was incredible in Detroit. Now, Anthony Molina came in this game on Tuesday, lasted an inning and two-thirds, gave up six runs. We know where his future is. He's on the 40-man roster. He's on the 26-man active roster because he's a Rule of Five pick. Rocky said, hey, we could use some more depth still. So this is a guy we'll carry all season long as a rookie, use him sparingly. And then in 2025, we got ourselves a 22, 23-year-old, you know, young pitcher. We've got ourselves a prospect that already has a year of big league experience. So that's promising. That's why he's on the roster, not a knock on him. It's just his situation. Otherwise, he probably would be in Double A right now with Tampa Bay, but he's getting big league experience. That's a good thing for him. After Molina, the Rockies bullpen put up 11 and a third scoreless innings against Detroit over these three games. Truly, truly impressive. As I mentioned, Gomber will be back. He did not make the start on Wednesday. Tanner Gordon got the spot start in a 7-4 loss. He went 3 1/3, gave up 10 hits, 7 runs, 0 walks, 1 strikeout. Definitely has taken a step backwards off of a couple promising starts to the year. If you're making a depth chart going into 2025, Bradley Blaylock definitely at least one spot ahead of Tanner Gordon right now. The bullpen, four scoreless innings, including two by Jake Bird, who's been back in a major way. Ryan McMahon had his 19th home run, one away from 20 on Wednesday. And Ezekiel Tovar lashed his 43rd double of the season. That is now the most by a shortstop in franchise history, second most in the National League right now, and the most by a Rocky since Nolan Arenado had 43 in 2017. Impressive. In fact, the last Rocky with more than 43 doubles in a season, you got to go all the way back to that runner up in the MVP award voting for Matt Holliday in 2007. He had 50 back in 07. So Ezekiel Tovar continues to post and continues to compile some big, big statistics for Colorado. And on Thursday, great win, great come from behind win. Rockies were battling, did not want to leave Michigan, getting swept. They win 4-2 in a start by Tarik Skubal, the AL Cy Young of the Cy Young Award favorite, almost a guarantee right now at this point. Ryan Feltner doesn't quite match him, but holds his own. 5 2/3 innings pitch, 3 hits, gives up 2 runs, walked 2, struck out 6, but it could have been a shutout performance because in the bottom of the fourth in this game, Feltner appeared to strike out Spencer Torkelson on his third pitch, four-seam fastball, top of the zone, caught the top of the zone, according to StatCast, had it as a strike. Home plate umpire Alfonso Marquez did not. Torkelson fouls off a couple balls. In fact, pitch 4 just barely missed. Could have had a strikeout there in 4 pitches instead of 3. But a few more balls fouled off by Torkelson. He rips a go-ahead 2-run double to flip the lead. It was 1-0 at that point. And Bud Black gets himself tossed by home plate ump Alfonso Marquez. His third ejection of the season. His most in a season with the Rockies. It's been 2 or 1 every year since 2017. This year is his most. Third ejection for Buddy. Had to go back and look at his record in San Diego. 6 of his 9 seasons in San Diego had at least 3 ejections. What does that mean? Hey, but he's a lot more calmer in his later years. The most he had ever gotten thrown out, though, in a season was 4, and that happened only over a span of 65 games. He was battling for his job there in 2015, and so definitely was a lot more on the line for him. But Buddy gets tossed, and the Rockies were able to respond at that point. The bullpen is where the Rockies end up excelling once more. They get 3 innings and the win. Seth Halverson gets his first career win. Tyler Kinley with his 12th save, because they got some runs back off of Detroit's bullpen. They're sort of underwhelming name-wise, but very talented. Again, go back and listen to that conversation I had with Clay Snowden, especially if you think that you saw something in Detroit that suggests they might be able to sneak in as the final AL wild card. It's still a possibility, especially if they go on a Rocktober-type run. We know how similar the Tigers are right now to this current Rockies club, at least as far as where their rebuild is going. But Jordan Beck started the game off with a home run. That's a big feather in his cap to homer off a guy who is the AL Cy Young Award winner. Then the bullpen comes in. Charlie Blackmon ties the game in the 7th with the RBI single. And in the 9th, they get 2 runs, the go-ahead RBI by Jacob Stallings, who had 2 hits in this ball game. His first start in the series, he had Hunter Goodman on Tuesday and Drew Romo on Wednesday. Good to see those guys getting more opportunities, getting more starts. And then Jake Cave, as he typically does, tacks on another run with an RBI sac fly to give a little bit more buffer to the bullpen, and Rockies win 4-2 in Detroit to stave off that 3-game sweep. Your minor league minute today is all about the Northwest League Championship, Spokane versus Vancouver. Winner takes all, best of 5 series. Well, wait a minute. Winner takes all is not a 5-game series. I could edit this out, but no, I'm just realizing how silly that was. Yeah, best of 5. Game 1, Spokane jumps out to the early lead, taking the win in Canada 4-3, thanks to Glenn Allen Hill Jr., G.J. Hill, and Brian Betancourt, both homering while starting pitcher for the Spokane Indians. Jack Mahoney allows 3 earned runs through 5 1/3 innings pitch while fanning 7. That's a big one right there for Jack Mahoney. Talk about players putting feathers in their caps. That's huge. I was talking with Aaron from Blake Street Banner saying, hey, our homework is to go back and find every starting pitcher for every playoff game the Rockies have had in the minors. There's not a ton to go back and look. We got to figure that out. And by we, I think Aaron would back me up in saying it's just me. I need to do that homework, and so I will. In game 2, Spokane lost 4-3. Same score both games. Different winner each time out. In game 2 up in Vancouver, Connor Stain allowed 3 earned run through 5 frames. So a similar outing to Jack Mahoney. Even strikes out 7, just like Mahoney. But Spokane not able to get it done. The next 3 games move to Spokane. So they've got that home field advantage. Friday, Saturday, and I think Sunday might be an off day. And then Monday, if need be, would be the game 5 for the Northwest League Championship. Not really sure why they would have a day off. Maybe I'm just completely mistaken altogether. I am. No, Sunday would be game 5 if necessary at 6:35 Pacific time. So 7:35 is when you want to be tuning into the MILB app, MILB.TV. I think even if you've got Rockies TV, you should be able to watch those games. So a lot of people got their minds and their hearts in Washington State for that one, hoping that Spokane can bring a championship to the Rockies minor league affiliates. On this date, let's go back a couple days. September 10th, Rockies won their 8th straight game. Doing another Rocktober there, didn't they? Yeah, that they got to the postseason there in 2009. 5-1 defeat of Cincinnati. That was highlighted by Garrett Atkins' 2-run homer after a 9-1 homestand. I believe that was the best homestand in Rockies history, at least as far as most wins are concerned. Rockies had a 4.5 game lead in the wildcard race and only 2 games behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. So another year where the Rockies could have possibly taking home the NL West pennant. I say that, I mentioned this on this date because Garrett Atkins was also at the ballpark last Friday or two Fridays ago for the holiday reunion Orioles-Rockies. Unfortunately, did not get a chance to see him, but his two kids were rocking the holiday jerseys, the Orioles holiday jerseys, that is. So it was cool seeing him in the dugout and sharing some words with Matt Holliday and seeing how excited his kids were to be back at the ballpark. At Garrett Atkins, let's not forget, a Rocky and an Oriole. That's right, he did finish up his career in Baltimore. September 11th, 2010, a year later, what do you know? Another big winning streak. Rockies might need to harken back to some of that if they are going to avoid 100 losses. Rockies won their ninth straight game in 2010 on September 11th. 2-1 victory over Arizona. Get themselves back in the middle of a playoff race. Matt Reynolds picked up his first big league win. Pinch hitter Jonathan Herrera drove in the winning run with a sac fly in the seventh. On September 12th, 2010, the next day, Rockies extended their win streak to 10 games thanks to a Jason Giambi walk-off homer. Talk about a guy that deserves a lot more love. I think, isn't he on the mural that is down on the underground concourse? I think he might be. I'll have to go back and look at the video that I posted, or when I'm at the ballpark again this weekend, take a look, because there's a lot of notable people that has their image painted. I think Curtis Laskanik is probably the one that confuses people the most, or might not be as well known. A big moment when they clinched in 1995 to go to their first postseason. But I think there's also a Giambi mural in there too, which, I don't know. As people get older, more and more folks forget him. He doesn't get talked about as much in Rocky's lore. It makes sense because he really wasn't a longtime Rocky, but definitely made a major impact when he was with Colorado. A major, major impact. September 12th, 1996. This is a big one. Ellis Burks, who also celebrated a birthday this week, stole his 30th base of the season, making him the 19th player in history. Only the 19th at that point to join the 30-30 club. Also hit his 37th homer of the season, and he drove in five runs in Colorado's 16-8 win over Atlanta. Do not forget how great Ellis Burks was in his career. And finally, this one is wild. This one is wild. When I spotted this little fun fact a couple months back, I couldn't wait for today. I couldn't wait for September 13th to read this out, because it's mind-boggling, but it's very Colorado. In the Rockies' very first year of 1993, on September 13th, the Rockies game against the Astros was postponed in the Denver area as it was hit by a late summer storm. A late snowstorm that deposited more than 5 inches of snow. And 24 hours before first pitch, it was a 92 degree day. Hey, that's Colorado for you, as we know. And I do want to mention, I was going to ask Drew Goodman about this earlier in the week. Please go back and check out that one. We touched briefly on the Tiger series, mostly about Detroit as a city in general, how much it's come along, not just in the past 20 years since the Rockies have been playing there, but even in the last 10 years, how much better Detroit has become, how much safer it's become, and just overall better. And we just talked about these young players on the team and the biggest bright spot and the biggest surprises being Doyle and Tolia. Go check that out. I wanted to ask Goodman about this little wrinkle in baseball history. Not so much, but Kumar Rocker. Spit it out, Patrick. Kumar Rocker got the start on Thursday for the Rangers. Makes his major league debut. Now, he was the third overall pick by the Rangers in 2022. I bring him up because, again, the hardcores out there remember these kind of things. He was actually originally a draft pick by the Colorado Rockies. Yes, he was a 38th round pick in 2018 at a point in which he was very clearly going to Vanderbilt. And it was a time in which there were 40 rounds in the draft. 2020 was the first year they decided to really reduce the size of the draft. It was only five rounds because of the pandemic. But after that, the draft shrunk to 20 rounds. Before it was 40 rounds, it was actually 50 rounds. That's wild. But back then, picks from like 35 to 40. You'll see this a lot if you go back and look in Rocky's history. Picks 35, 36 to 40. Not that they were wasted picks, but they were like ceremonial, right? Rocky's also drafted Dansby Swanson, another player who ended up going to Vanderbilt University, similar to Kumar Rocker. Almost like, hey, we'll draft you, and hey, if something falls apart, you know, maybe we will be able to sign you. The signing period used to be a lot longer before Dansby Swanson's era, but it used to be a lot longer where you'd almost, you know, own a guy's rights for a while, and then eventually that became a bit of a mess. But it's just interesting to think, not just that it's a former 40-round draft, but that, you know, Kumar Rocker is going to represent the last guy who debuts in the majors that was one of those players to say, hey, did you know this guy was originally drafted by the Rockies and never signed? Because now, with only there being 20 picks, any player you draft, you have to sign. Any player you draft, you're going to sign. There's going to be rare mistakes, but something will have had to have happened along the way. Like R.A. Dickey, you go back and look at him, and he was a first-round pick, seventh overall, somewhere in the top 10, and his multi-million dollar signing bonus shrunk to about $100,000, but that had something to do with some x-rays and realizing, oh, geez, you don't even have a UCL tendon. Like you pitched through it somehow. So other than strange exceptions like that, he still ended up signing with the Rangers. But other than crazy exceptions where you don't sign a deal, maybe the agent's getting in the way. We saw that a few years ago with Carter Stewart, who did not sign his deal with Atlanta and decided to be a professional over in Japan. And we haven't really heard too much from him since then. But this will be the last case that we can say, hey, so-and-so debuted, so-and-so superstar was actually originally drafted by the Rockies. This will be the last time. That's it. Wrap that bad boy up. Coming up this weekend is Cubs. I'm going to talk with Ryan Herrera from CHGO to preview that Cubs series on Friday over on the YouTube channel. Diamondbacks back at the ballpark Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And man, not a lot of baseball left. That makes me sad, but you know, you're going to have a lot more free time on your hands. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's not, but that is a reality. The reality is I'm over on social media, Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and at Rockies_insider. Thank you so much for joining me as always and for giving me this wonderful momentum. But that momentum, as I like to say, it's only as good as my next show. So I will talk to you then.